Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle.
Let's go.
All right, folks. Here's your big update on my grand plan for the watermelon fast. I ran into the same issue I had with the grape fast, and that's that working on the ramp is too physical to keep my blood sugar stable. I don't have my test kit with me. I don't ever really take it with me unless I'm going on vacation, because I only test once in the morning. But my blood sugar seems to bottom out when I work really hard, which I remember this as a kid with my dad, that he'd be out working in the yard, like on his days off or when he was retired even, working on something really hard. And then all of a sudden he'd be like, go get me a peanut butter sandwich. And it was because his blood sugar had bottomed out. And so it's funny, like the knowledge that you have and how you acquire it, but that really stands out for me. So you probably remember when I was attempting the grape fast, like I think I did that 5 times. I could only make it 5 days each time. On the watermelon, I only made it 2 days. But it was really good. When it was good, it was really good. And I want to say, I don't think there's anything more refreshing than drinking a blended watermelon from Vitamix first thing in the morning. And watermelon isn't even my favorite fruit. It's kind of way down the list. Like, I love mango. I love pineapple. Watermelon, it's like, I've always been able to kind of take it or leave it. But that is the most satisfying and refreshing thing I've ever had for breakfast. I'm still surprised myself, believe me. So what I was doing was I think it was 3 days that I did the watermelon. So I would cut one in half. I was eating a half a melon a day. So then I would have that. And so of those 2 quarters, one went in the blender and I drank some of it first thing. And then I put the rest in my cooler bottle, which I had been keeping water in on the ramp. But I took that so that I would have it out on the ramp. So when my blood sugar did get low, I could get it up there again. And it was cold and wet. And yeah, so that was good to an extent, but it just wasn't, my blood sugar was just too erratic, because that really spikes it up. It is pretty high sugar, same as the grapes, you know? But then I would cube the other half and I would eat that either before I went into work, just before I went in, or on a break while I was there. The really, really, really great news, the watermelon is not the problem. Grapes aren't the problem. The job is the problem. And I gave my 2 weeks notice. I couldn't take it anymore. I made a list of pros and cons when I was still doing therapy, and I didn't know if I was having trouble making any kind of decision. She would have me make a tea list for it of pros and cons. And so I did that, and I was okay making it. I had 6 reasons to stay and 36 reasons to leave. It was when Gabe and I sat down at the dining room table and I just started reading them off to him that I just started sobbing. And we had just been talking about this. He's a therapist. We had just been talking about this organization that he used to work with. He was working 2 places, where he is now, and then this other place that was very bureaucratic. And he would get in such a mood all day Sunday before he had to go to work on Monday at that place. And so we had just talked about that, and he said, I may have hated that job, but it's nothing compared to this for you. Like, you know, look at what's happening to you, you know? So I gave my 2 weeks notice, and I have kind of a funny story. We've been so short-staffed, so this is the irony. We've been short-staffed for the last 9 months when I was on mornings, getting up at 1 in the morning, 1:30, leaving for work at 2, getting home at like 3 in the afternoon. sometimes often turning a plane with only three people when it's supposed to be eight, according to the union. And one time it was even just two people, just me and my supervisor turned a plane until we needed a wing walker to bring in, you know, brought in a third. But it's just ridiculous. So they finally get the morning fully staffed and the new bid, like our new schedule. I didn't get my first choice for the bid. I didn't get my second choice for the bid. I got bumped to nights. And I think I may have already told you this, but I'm, I was trying to make it work. But there's no parking available when I get home at 2, 3 in the morning. I would have to sleep in my car until a space opened up around 6. So I wasn't happy about that. And then also the night shift and, you know, afternoon shift is just run very differently. And they're short staffed now. So I'm still dealing with that. So they had people come in, a couple people come in from other locations. They call that TDY, one from Alaska, and they brought one guy in from Wyoming. And the guy from Alaska was older, really nice guy. Luckily, they both were really nice guys. But he was mansplaining something to me. I was driving the belt loader. I was trying, it wouldn't lower, or it wouldn't raise to the back cargo pit. And he's telling me to speed it up, but I'm focused on getting it into the correct position first. And so he thought I didn't understand. So he shows me where the buttons are to speed up and slow down the belt. And instead of doing what I did last time, an old TDY guy showed me something that I knew with my eyes closed and had been done like 40 times. I said, "I know." And I held up 9 fingers. I just was like, 9 months. Been here. And he just started laughing. And he's like, "I'm sorry, I thought you didn't know where they were because you weren't." And I was like, "No, I know where they are." And then we just both laughed. And I was like, "Sorry." But yeah, in the past, I would just let them explain to me, like, I had no clue about something that I had been doing for months and months and months. And like, why do we let men mansplain to us and just let them? Why? It's always good to be polite, but that's just too polite. And it didn't make any sense either time. But anyway, okay. So, I have 8 shifts left. I'm currently on 3 days off, my second of 3 days off, and just kind of chilling, but also putting together my game plan. It's interesting to me that when I did TikTok shop back in February, I only did it for a couple weeks and then I stopped because I just didn't have the time or the energy to do that and work at the airport. And the people that kept doing it and stayed with it from that time period are killing it. Now, is that my dream work? No. But it is a lot more creative than what I'm doing now. And I think it's just a stepping stone to probably to full-time trading. I am still doing trading. I did figure out and confirm through one of my trading buddies that I Zoom with weekly and chat with all the time that, okay, so there's 2 levels to Terry Igioma's course. Or there were. Now it's all one. But when I took it, there were 2 levels, the beginning and the VIP. So I only took the beginning. That's what I could afford, which really I couldn't because I took out a loan to buy that level of the class. That is basically buy low, sell high. And it's not like I've mastered that, but I know it pretty damn well now. And it's been a lot of studying and practicing. The second part of the course is about shorting and options. Well, you really need both sides. You need both levels because when you only take the first level, that means that while you've figured out how to chart and to be a technical analysis trader through lots of hard work, because let's face it, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You are waiting for the stocks that you have determined are, you know, you've charted them and okay, they're near their buy zone, they're good, healthy companies, they meet all the criteria, but you still have to wait for it to hit its buy zone. That can take days, it can take weeks, months. You are able to predict pretty accurately when a stock is going to hit a buy zone and you can get in. But it's a lot of waiting. And so if you can trade things on the way down through shorting and options, then that solves the problem. So I'm going to have to teach myself shorting and options. And also this trading buddy, she took both levels. So she teaches us a little bit of the shorting and options. But that's where I am with that. So it's still a really great program. I highly recommend it. It's just I had to like figure that out because I was like, something's not quite right. And I don't think I've been scammed. I know this is a legitimately good program. But why am I where I'm at? Even though I did set it aside for a year and a half when I was doing animal communication, I just didn't have time to do both. I should be further along, and it's because I only took the one level of the course and you need both, and which is probably a big reason why now it's all one course, but it's also 10 grand. So I took that one level for 2,500, which I'm really glad, like no regrets, just having to reposition and, you know, recalculating. So I also have a product idea, and that's just kind of sitting, percolating in the back of my mind. It's funny because it came to me again when I was in the MRI, month or 6 weeks ago. I was in this literal magnetic resonance, whatever it is, and I had this idea about the shark magnets. And it wasn't like a new idea. I just remembered it. Well, I was, you know, kind of making this movie in my mind to get through being in that MRI tube, that teeny tiny tube where I couldn't move. And so my escape was to, while listening to Devin's favorite music, to be like creating this little movie where she didn't die and we moved to Hawaii together. And, had, you know, these businesses, and that's when like it came back on my radar, the shark magnets. So when I went to Hawaii the last time, I took cow magnets with me because I thought I might at least paddle out on a board and see what it's like. But I did have concerns about sharks, and rightfully so. I had couple things happened while I was there, as it turned out. Cow magnets, because I'm a farm kid, I know about them. You feed them to a cow because if a cow gets into some fencing, like eats some fencing or some other like metallic material, it'll contain it to their stomach so that it doesn't go through their intestines and tear them up and, you know, and get infected and kill them, you know. So they're really strong magnets, and I thought, okay, I can make my own version of shark bands, which is a phenomenal product that's already out there. It's BANZ shark bands for a lot less. So I bought some mosquito netting, and I was just going to like tie to my ankle, you know. I brought a package of the magnets. And so then I met this woman who was finishing up her scuba certification, and she had some concerns about sharks too. And so I was like, hey, you know, try out these magnets that I brought with me. And that's what I brought them for. And then she actually sewed them so that she could wear them and tested them out. And so this is all in the back of my mind, along with the fact that while I was there, a guy lost his wife while they were paddling in from surfing. She was just gone. And I believe that was on the North Shore, if I remember right. But it might have been in Waikiki, but I think it was on the North Shore. While I was in the water, you know, you're thinking you're protected from the break wall. You're protected by the break wall. A little shark got into the swimming area. And I mean, people didn't freak out really bad. I mean, these young guys that were like tossing a football around were like, whoa, check it out. And they could see him like swimming around in between them. So he was big enough they noticed him, not big enough to be a threat, obviously. But if I was a mom and I had little kids like sitting in the water and stuff, I still would have been very concerned, and yanked them out right away. So how easy to just be able to slip a little band on them. And so I just gave away this idea, but shark bands are very expensive, and these are not. So it takes a lot of work to create a product from the ground up like that, but I do have a really good friend who's done that. So that's also something I'm kind of kicking around. I also want to take a minute to say that I'm starting to meditate more again. And today I plan to do an hour meditation. Really cool things have happened in the past when I've meditated for an hour. And I started listening to the 10% Happier podcast on Spotify. And that is the guy who wrote the book 10% Happier. And it's funny because I've been blowing off this podcast, even though I had the alarm set for every new episode that they released, you know, I would just ignore it. Like for years, I've done this, not realizing it was a podcast mostly on meditation. I don't know. Some part of my brain was like 10%. Doesn't seem like enough. So I just let it go. And recently I started listening to it, and then today I went to listen to it, and it wasn't like in my like recently listened to things, so I went to search it and his book came up, and it's in Spotify also for free. I can't believe like the incredible things that I find in Spotify. So just shout out to them. I love them, and I think they're well worth the money. They just raised their price by like, I don't know, a buck. Still totally worth it. I'm just gonna read to you from some notes. I mean, I'm not gonna read to you from some notes, but I did notice that I was getting more sleep with the new shift by a little bit, like maybe another hour or so, which seemed to make a difference. But I've also noticed that depression is the biggest reason that I need to heal. Why I need to stick with raw. Yes. Reversing the diabetes for the sixth time now is important. Yes, keeping the myasthenia gravis symptoms in check and under control is very, very important. Keeping the existential dread that I've been experiencing until I gave my 2 weeks' notice at bay is important. But it's the depression. Like I've always had that challenge, and I just think it runs so strongly in my family. I see it. My parents, my grandparents, my siblings. But you add grief to that, and it's just overload. It's absolute overload on your whole system. And I don't know, I'm just recognizing that. And that is the number one reason that I need to be raw. I said to Gabe the other day, some days I just want to go home and see my sister and my niece And I can't. They're not there. And I still want to go back and visit the rest of my family, but this has really, really, really taken a toll on me, especially losing them within just years of each other. And it's no news to you guys. You know that it's taken a toll on me. I think of other people going through significant loss. And Ra is not going to magically fix this, but it's going to put you in a better headspace where you can cope with it a lot better, where it's much more manageable. When I'm raw, I'm still the best version of myself, even in grief. None of us are going to escape this. We're all going to go through very painful, debilitating, devastating losses of people that we love very much. But if you can be your best version of yourself, I think you can get through it. A little more easily. Let's talk about the True North thing. So, I did a little research and it's doubled in cost since the last time I checked to see what it would be. I mean, I crunched the numbers and it's 10 grand if I were to go and do a 40-day fast and have my, you know, expenses covered. That's, you know, that wasn't counting airfare either because I hadn't given my 2 weeks notice then. So it's a little over that, but, and maybe I wouldn't be able to do 40 days, but that would be the goal definitely going in. So I did set up the GoFundMe, but I haven't promoted it at all because part of me thinks like 10 grand is a lot to ask of people. I know that people do GoFundMes for more and for, you know, lots of different reasons, lots of different projects, but that's significant. 10 grand. So I also worry that something might go wrong and I might want to give the money back, that there wouldn't be a way, but I'm sure there is, and I'm sure it's simple. It's just a matter of looking it up. This is definitely, if I'm going to do the watermelon fast while I'm raising the money for that, then I need to do it after I'm done with work, obviously, because I can't do the watermelon fast but while working at the airport. It's just not even healthy. You can feel that it's just not smart. I've already been injured twice there. I don't want to, like, pass out on the ramp. I don't want to have, I don't want my blood sugar to get too low or I really get into trouble. So just be smart about that. I am going to watermelon fast tomorrow, though. I'm actually really looking forward to that on the 4th of July. And actually, oh, wow, that's the anniversary of this podcast. I think it's 3 years now. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, the 4th of July was our first podcast. Well, our first, yours and mine. That's fun. I think that I want to take a minute to just reflect, like, I started out sharing my solo travel experience and trying to be raw. And I had a lot of success with it actually on the road and juicing and just, I remember like being in a really good place. And when I look back at the pictures and things, like my skin was super clear. I felt really good. I did encounter people like not liking, like friends and family not liking that I was doing it. But I also encountered really sweet and supportive people, family members. I had a cousin, my cousin Jenny in Colorado, surprised me with, I mean, I hadn't seen her since I was a kid. She surprised me with all these cold pressed juices and I just couldn't believe it. Like that's the most supportive thing I think anybody has done. It was so sweet. I just really think that I'm still moving in the right direction. It's been a ton of trial and error. I've learned a lot. And I have this book sitting off to my right, The Highly Sensitive Person. It's Dr. Elaine Aaron's original first book that she published about highly sensitive people. And last night, I just grabbed it off the shelf. Didn't even remember that I had this copy, but I'm going to start reading it again. I don't know if I ever read the whole thing. That factors into a lot of this, interestingly enough. ADHD factors into a lot of this. Just, you know, being human, we're all a little bit different, but mostly we're alike. And so I hope that the things that I'm learning help you also. I'm getting there. It is a really non-linear journey. It is a lot of ups and downs, a lot of cha-cha, a lot of one step forward, two steps back. But I'm still heading in the right direction. Like it's not a phase, you know, it's not something that I'm just dabbling in. I have to remind myself that I am making progress. And I want to forgive myself for like going back to work at the airport. I knew the challenges going in, and then there were more challenges. And that's life. But I needed structure. I was grieving so hard. I needed structure. And I got that. And I got quite a lot of really intense workouts. So it's been really good for me physically. Mentally, emotionally, not so much. And I find myself even just recently stress eating. But I have 8 shifts left. 8. So I'm very happy about that. I don't feel like panicked or stressed that I am going to have to work out, you know, holding income, and it'll come together. I always land on my feet. It'll be fine. I'm still headed in the right direction. That's the bottom line. I thought I had bigger news to tell you, but sorry, this episode is a bit of a disappointment, I'm sure, because you probably wanted to hear that I had been doing watermelon all this time and that I was raising the funds to go to True North and making progress there. But there are a lot of wrenches in the works right now, and I'll figure them out. And you're going to figure your wrenches out. You'll figure it out. That's one thing that a lot of people don't say about raw veganism is that you can take in all the information, you can follow all these incredible people and then unfollow all of them, and you can read all the books and watch all the videos and podcasts, and there's a lot of really, really helpful, fantastic information and people in the community. But you are going to have to find your own path. That is unavoidable. You're not going to be able to follow someone else's path. Like, I think the most common question that raw foodie influencers get is, you know, what do you eat? You know, what do I eat in a day videos and all that. What do you eat? What do you eat? You know, because people want to be, they want a map, you know, and there is no map for your journey. You're learning it day by day. And that's a brilliant design. Because it's your path. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. You're still moving in the right direction. And you've got someone right here saying it's not easy. It may be easy for some people. And God, I hope it's easy for you. I hope you're baffled by how difficult this has been for me, and that is not your experience at all. That just like, I don't know why she's having such a hard time with this. Seems easy enough to me. I'm doing it, you know. I hope that's the case. I really do. But if you are struggling, I'm right here with you. And you'll get there. Because if you have done raw for even a week, I would say even 5 days, you know, nothing else feels like it. And once you know that, you're always going to go back to it. Thanks for being here today. You could have done a lot of things with this time, but you were here with me. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for your time and your patience and your understanding. If you're infuriated with me, thank you for just showing up and listening to the latest. I don't blame you at all. Thank you for being inquisitive and curious and a seeker and being compassionate and kind. I'll talk to you soon. Love you guys.